Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beer, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
You know, Vince, I recently saw a film that was prominently featuring go-karting.
Oh.
Yeah, I think you know which one.
Was it perhaps Mario?
It was, yeah.
Did you like it?
It was good. There was a lot of good karting in that film. And speaking of karts,
I honestly prefer the mango kart, if we're talking karts.
Yeah, really? Can you drive one of those?
I don't know, but you can definitely sell mangoes from one, and you can drink from one.
You sure can. That's right. We're drinking a beer called Mango Kart.
If you're from Chicago, particularly the north side, you may recognize this from Wrigley Field because this beer is everywhere. Am I right, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know why you mentioned Wrigley Field.
Because that's the first place I like tried it. Yeah. I was like, oh, look at this.
I thought you were going to go down like a road analogy. Like, let's take the Golden Road to this.
What is the Golden Road? The Golden Road might be the appropriate term for Clark Street, as it's covered in pee.
On St. Patrick's Day?
On any day.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so Mango Kart is what we're drinking today, and quite an interesting story. We'll get to that. But let's just set the scene. So this is a fruit beer, 4%, real light guy, from Golden Road Brewing, which is based in, that's right, Hollywood, Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles.
Somehow this is the first Los Angeles-based beer we've done on this show.
But does that shock you, dude?
No, not really. It doesn't strike me as a craft beer town.
Like, it strikes me as, like, they would pass off some $18 beer and be like, it's craft.
Right.
But it's really just, like, repackaged Budweiser.
Well, I will tell you, everything's expensive there beer-wise. But, yeah, so as they describe it themselves, this is the first in a series inspired by the iconic Fruit Cart Vendors of L.A. It's a light wheat ale with lots of fresh mango flavor and aroma, finishing crisp and refreshing. I mean, it is what it says it is. It's a mango beer.
I'm excited. I personally have yet to have a beer that includes mango that I've not liked. I've actually had one of these, but it's been a while and I don't remember the details.
I had one of these in Santa Monica on the beach. So,
whoa.
It was probably the most LA moment of my life.
Well, let's crack these and have a little LA moment here in Chicago.
Cheers, bro.
Cheers. Dude.
Wow, crack clock. That was, we almost broke the...
What are we at?
We're under 3 minutes for that one.
Under 3 minutes. Woo!
Might be the record, folks. Who's keeping track?
RJ.
Yeah,
it smells so good.
If you smell you this, I know you're going to love this.
Oh.
This smells like fruit in a can. It's pretty much, it's right on the money.
Ooh. Oh, you know what? Tom, can I depart for a second and just request that we immediately put it in the glass?
Yeah, sure.
Because I am curious. I've had a little taste there, but I haven't actually had this out of a can before. I've had it out of a glass.
So I do want to just shout out, we've mentioned him on the show, Jack Malooly. We had some mango carts. He used to work for AB InBev.
Nice.
And he specifically told me, you know, a while back that this would be a good one to review on the show. It's definitely one of those things where...
There we go.
If you like mango, you're going to like it. If you don't, then I don't know if I would try this one, but...
I'll let you guys in on what just happened in my brain there is... There was a high concentration of that mango taste that came out of just a teeny tiny opening in that can. And it was a little much for me at front, which is saying a lot given my history with fruit beers. But as soon as I got it into that glass and it opened up, it was pretty fantastic. So this is what I remember tasting. Very delicious, very easy drinking. Let's get into a little bit about the founder, who is one of a few female titans in the industry.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to learn about this. Her name's Meg Gill. And, you know, Vince, she started this in 2011, isn't that right?
Yes, sir. It absolutely is. Taking inspiration from 400 different neighborhoods and 225 different languages spoken by the 4 million people in our hometown of Los Angeles.
Are you the Los Lonely Boys?
I don't want to be lonely no more. One of the most creative places in the world. Well,
sure.
Yeah.
We'll save that.
We'll get there.
Commentary,
but
yeah.
Some pretty interesting tidbits across the board here. It's cool, and you brought this up, that she veers a little bit from the traditional brewing template, which is either, what have we seen, Tom? We've seen
Married couples
chasing a dream.
Two friends leave a line of work they don't like and start brewing in the garage.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of female entrepreneurs going at on their own.
Former Olympic hopefuls.
Definitely haven't heard of that. What was she in the Olympics for?
So she was not, I don't think she made the Olympics, but she was training and was at Olympic trials for swimming.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is awesome. It's a pretty interesting story here about how she kind of got started on beer. Right here, she says, she calls it the first sip. She's the youngest of three kids, and she remembers that at the end of the day, her mom would be fixing dinner and say, if you go down to the basement and get me a beer, you can have the first sip. And I always loved that first crisp, refreshing taste. So,
wow. Well, I mean, I think all of us had like a sip of our parents' beer back in the day.
I did. I remember thinking, this is awful. Why would anyone do this? But good for her. Smart Cookie went to Yale University where she swam. She actually met the owner of Oscar Blues, and he helped sell her on craft beers.
We've reviewed one of their beers on the show.
We have. Was it Old Chub?
Old Chub, that's right.
Old Chub. We had a good time with Old Chub.
We did.
We like that guy. And then just to throw one more name out there, she grabbed a key employee from Dogfish Head, the assistant brewer out there.
We've done them on our show as well, Sequench Ale.
You know, she's had a vision, right? Liked what she liked beer, obviously, in the first place. Got hooked up with a couple of craft beer, dare I say, OGs, and seems like kissing all the right rings, doing everything right to put out a great beer, and I think this is emblematic of that. This is wonderful.
And the reason why we're able to drink this is because in 2015, they partnered with AB InBev, Anheuser-Busch, so you can get this pretty much anywhere.
And I recommend that you do. This is delightful.
You know, the can, we haven't talked about the cans in a while, but this is just a very brightly colored can. It kind of reminds me of a Curious George cover.
Yeah, because it's bright yellow.
It's bright yellow, but like also just the illustrations too are very much like that. And the font, you know, it's one of those things. Like we had a speech teacher in high school that said that orange is the color that demands your attention the most, which is why yellow is like right next to that. Like those are just two colors. You see people wearing that, you're like, wow, I noticed that. You know? You see a guy wearing a yellow shirt, you're definitely looking his way for the most part.
And that's how he ended up with a monkey who does he or does he not have a tail? Curious George.
Is that an urban legend?
I think it's a Mandela effect thing.
Is that like a Berenstain versus Berenstain Bears thing?
Yes.
Like some people swear that they've seen a tail and others.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to throw a couple of questions your way here because mango is not a traditional American fruit. When was your first experience with mango?
I don't know if I have an initial memory with mango, but I have a lot of good memories with mango.
Okay.
I was saying to you earlier that it seems like in the White Claw fan group that mango White Claw is the most preferred flavor.
Well, I think a lot of people are... I think mango is not one of your first fruits, let's be honest. You get your apple, your strawberry, your raspberry, your blueberry.
It's like exotic.
Yeah, it feels a little exotic. It might be... I feel like it's very popular in Southeast Asia. The tropical areas that get a lot of mango.
Yeah.
It is quickly becoming inserted into everything because people are recognizing that it is very flavorful, but at the same time, it's a good mixer. It's not picky about its company. We're having it with a beer. You can have it with a seltzer. Even you can have it with a candy if you want.
Mango salsa is fantastic.
Yes.
Never had that.
Yes, I have.
I would say it's a really good fruit, but it's also situational. You know, you're not going to have mango with everything, right?
Oh, okay. What would you not have mango with?
I wouldn't put mango on like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I would try that.
I would not want to try
that. I would
that.
Push the limits, man. I would push the limits. I genuinely think
would you
that
have
that
like
may not be.
Okay, would you have mango pancakes?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
I've never thought about that combination. I'm just throwing that out there.
That sounds awesome.
I would definitely have mango like in a smoothie. That kind of yep. goes without saying. I mentioned salsa. Would you have mango on pizza?
That's interesting because I do like pineapple on pizza.
Oh, gosh. I'm so upset that you said that.
Kill me. Right?
You should put that on your Hinge profile, Vince. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't have one of those.
I guess what I'm saying is like it's a very good fruit. It's versatile, but you know, it's not an evergreen fruit for me. And that's probably why it's not one of the primary fruits.
Well, that's fair. It's not an evergreen. Well, you could say the same thing about strawberries.
I just saw...
Would you put strawberries on your pizza?
No. Okay. Touche.
Talk to me a little bit, because I... listen, I can see it. I think we're both eager to dive bomb Los Angeles culture. And I know we want to do that. Before we do that, I just want to discuss some properties, some items here that are being like that are being inserted into other properties to really positive effect.
Properties or people?
Properties, people, you know, whatever we're
the
talking
property
about.
Brothers.
I
don't know much about them, to be honest. So
I don't either, but like one example that comes to my mind right away is the DC comics, the way that they're the way that they had to like slowly infuse like Batman and Superman together. They couldn't just come out and do full on Justice League, but they added one little piece, or like maybe even shooting the Joker into a movie in general, right? I think that there's been great success with doing that. I don't think, outside of maybe that first Suicide Squad, and that's more a reflection on Jared Leto than anything, I don't think inserting the Joker in anything has resulted in anything but wild fun, truthfully.
Oh. I almost don't want to get into this right now, but I absolutely hated the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
But you could say that wasn't an insertion. That was just like a standalone spin-off take of a character.
Maybe that was Mango Pizza.
Yeah, that was
that
the
mango.
Yes.
That was really bad, man.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. No, I think when I think about interpreting your question, I'm thinking more about like the blending of certain genres.
Sure, yeah.
I've been watching The Wire a lot lately. I've mentioned that before, and like I feel like cop shows are really guilty of like just doing the same old tropes where it's, you know,
yeah,
the grizzled alcoholic detective and they got to find the case and like they're divorced and they're all that. There's not a lot of variety in those shows. So when they do something kind of unexpected, it's like, huh, oh, that's like kind of exciting and interesting. Like I thought what they did with True Detective was brilliant, and they wove in a lot of different things into that mix.
I'm going to take you back to maybe 2006 to 2008. I'm pretty sure you could inject Lil Wayne into anything during that period of time. You were like, this is way better than it could have been.
Oh, yeah. Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne was big. It almost really lends itself to music. Nicki Minaj is another one who did that really well.
She was great at jumping on features with like Kanye and Drake.
Just crushing it. Making it infinitely better. This really does apply quite a bit to popular music at this point.
It's a lot easier to do it in music because like the commitment's way lower, you know, to write like a 12 episode TV show with a bunch of characters and stuff. Like that takes a lot of time to do, but to have somebody hop on a verse for 30 seconds. Like I saw a clip on TikTok of Snoop Dogg talking about making California Girls with Katy Perry. Yeah. And he basically just like showed up at the studio one day, heard the beat, and was like, all right, here you go. And then he was like talking about showing up to the music video and she's like naked, like in cake only. He's like, man, what the fuck is going on here? Okay, I remember what I was going to say. So in terms of blending genres like very seamlessly, BoJack Horseman to me is such a good example of like satire humor about Hollywood, dark comedy, like drama, like the anti-hero thing. Like, there's a little bit of something that for everybody, if you're if you have a high palate for, you know, dark jokes. But
yep.
You know, they also, like, they pack in all these puns in every episode, and the wordplay is really exquisite. So this beer isn't like BoJack Horseman necessarily, but I think that the idea of blending all that shit together is kind of like Mango Kart.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would, if I were to take something specific from BoJack Horseman, like something that, in my opinion, made it significantly better, even though it was a really small piece of it, it's the Margot Martindale arc.
Yes.
Yeah, like the character...
Actress Margot Martindale, yeah.
Yes, and just watching her, like, slowly lose it ever more to our enjoyment. Like, that was... I think that's a little bit of what mango does as a flavor.
I just thought of something even better than that. Do you watch Barry?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about a show that does it all.
Forget about that. Throw Bill Hader. When has he made anything worse? Holy shit, that's the one for me.
Yeah, he's... He's an ingredient that's always good, and I mean, super bad forgetting Sarah Marshall. But like Barry, which is, by the way, is a show that's like kind of a satire of LA as well. Like the premise, hitman takes an acting class. Boy, have they taken a turn on that, like completely in the fourth season. So it's amazing what like a really creative person can do when you just say, hey, we're just going to let you run with this from the beginning.
I'm ready to say that Bill Hader is Mango in the way that we're saying this, and that he doesn't he doesn't mess anything up, in my opinion. He pretty much either keeps it as it was going to be or makes it better.
And this beer, if Bill Hader's Mango Kart, I would say the sweetness is Noho Hank.
Noho Hank.
We have to kill Barry.
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 What does he say? I'm like super nervous.
He's such a... I love him. I love Henry Winkler as Gene Cousineau.
Oh, man. Yes.
God, he's great.
Yeah, that's another guy. Henry Winkler, too. I think what we're finding is that there's like these small little roles that just get injected into something and make it infinitely better. Like a wheat beer is great. Barry by itself is going to be great, but you add a little bit of Gene Cousineau.
Gene Cousineau.
Like, what does he say? If that isn't the best chicken a la king you've ever had, you can stand up and kick me right in the balls. Like, incredible.
Dude, the second episode of the fourth season, when he's doing the one-man show, it's so fucking funny. He's a great actor, and like, he's proven to be a lot more versatile.
He's the fucking Fonz.
Yeah. He started off as like, hey, what's going on? He's the guy who jumped the shark.
Yes.
Who else could have survived that career debacle?
Nobody.
He's still going. He's like 75.
And he's a lovable actor, a lovable character actor.
Right.
I think where I'm landing here is Mango is a character actor, and Mango Kart here is a, I guess, just like a well... filmed movie. I think you've nailed it. I think we're here, and it's Barry.
Yeah, I agree. Now,
a little of everything, a little sweet.
Let's just do it now.
Yeah, jump in.
LA experiences.
Yep.
What's it been like for you? I can give you my perspective.
I think LA as a city is a pit. I think it's like a Sarlacc pit, truthfully.
Boba Fett's just hanging out underneath.
I think it's terrible as a city. I think Hollywood, Santa Monica, I think everything that kind of like borders LA, there's a lot of beauty there, a lot of good stuff. But the actual downtown itself it's a tough scene.
There are natives there, obviously, but there's a lot of transplants.
Yeah, it's like Los Angeles is like, it's basically O negative blood. Like, there's no rejects. Like, that was one thing. I went out to Los Angeles as a 20-year-old for an internship. And I remember asking somebody, I was like, hey, is there any, like, anything that I can do just to, like, not make it obvious that I'm not, like, from here? And this guy goes, dude, no one's from here. Everyone has come from somewhere else. trust me, you're going to be fine.
Okay, you know what's funny about that? I was at a bar in LA once, and this guy came up to me and he goes, "You look like you're not from here." And I always go, "What makes you say that?" He goes, "You seem like you're nice." And I don't know if it was like the way I was dressed. I hadn't said anything to him. I was just like waiting to order a beer. Maybe it was just the fact that I was ordering a beer.
Oh, but yeah.
The fact that he just immediately was like, you're not from here. And I've talked to people that live in LA and they all say the same thing. It's like it's just a different culture there in the sense that there's a lot of people that are there for their career. Everybody kind of looks hot and sexy, or at least they try to.
Well, that's just sun, man. You get a little sun, everybody looks better.
Yeah. But LA is like influencer culture. It's a vapid like misrepresentation of what people are actually like, and if you dig below the surface, it's not really like that.
You're like, I feel like moving to LA is like joining a women's studies class and then claiming you're a feminist. It's like, dude, you moved to, you did like the least common denominator. You did the minimum you could. Congratulations. Right. You've studied women.
Now, having said that, the weather is fantastic.
Yes, the weather is. And you know what? I'm sure that women's studies class is a blast.
And there are really talented people in the creative industry there. There's no doubt.
Agreed.
However, this whole show is basically built on a lot of the bad ideas that come out of that scene. So
no, let's do it. Let's go on our LA kick. Give me your best LA is blank jokes. We can cut whatever we want, man. We're editing, baby.
Yeah, LA. No, LA is like your friend who gets like a cushy gig at his dad's company. He's like, "Yeah, man, so I got this because I'm actually good at this job." Yeah. not because I'm my dad's son.
LA is like painting your pinky toe when it's hanging on by a thread.
LA is the belly button ring of rings.
It's the tramp stamp of America right there. Oh my god.
Maybe, well, I don't know if it's
Scottsdale, Arizona.
No, LA is not the tramp stamp of America because that's like a little too unclassy for them. What LA is the behind the ear tattoo that that's like kind of visible, but like it's just hidden enough where it's like you think someone might not ask you about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would liken living in LA is essentially like, man, what's the best way I can describe this? Terrible. Like, there's almost, if it weren't for the weather, man, and I'll tell you what, even when you live in LA, you start to be like, what the hell is with this weather, dude? LA is full of cynicism. There is no one who is in LA who's like, this is awesome. This is the greatest place in the world. Everyone's there.
At least to insiders, yeah.
Yeah, anyone who's lived there for any amount of time is just like, this is a dog-eat-dog world, bro. You just got to be on top of your shit. Don't even worry about it. Stick with me. I'll show you the ropes. And then as you try and follow that guy into the bar, he doesn't get in. Yeah. That's L.A.
L.A. is like Federale's in Chicago.
Yes.
It's a place where people go to be seen, to post on social media, and everything else about it sucks.
Yeah, man. Oh, God.
Well, I think that's enough LA jokes. Let's talk about Mango Cart. What are we giving this score-wise?
I'm giving it a pretty high score, truthfully.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to give it a...
How very LA of you.
To offer something to you and then immediately take it back? Yeah,
just kidding. Just kidding.
Loser! Yeah, I'm going to give
this... I can't believe you fell for that, you fucking idiot.
I'm going to give this a 3.75 out of 5 Toms.
You're from Illinois, aren't you? I can tell. I can just tell.
You seem nice.
Yeah, the way you just let me have it. Honestly, I didn't even pull back that hard. I would have given it to you if you would have said something, but you didn't because you're so polite. You'll never make it here. Don't worry.
Don't worry. You wouldn't like it anyway.
Here's an unpaid internship. Enjoy your next 4 years.
Yeah, 3.75. It's a very good beer. I've had more than one of these in an evening, and it gets a little sweet after the second one, so... You know, have a couple at the beach, and I think you're good to go. But overall, enjoyable beer for me.
Very crushable. High crushability factor on that. We're looking at 4.0, so you could sip these at your own leisure or as fast as you like, and you'll be just fine with it. I'm ready to go 4 out of 5 here. I have not been in LA long enough to have the stars wiped from my eyes. This is nice.
Yeah. Well, next time you see the Funny or Die folks, just let them know how you really feel.
I had a great time at Funny or Die. I just like... Yeah. It's like somebody basically said, let's move 5 million people into an area that should fit 2 million people. And then let's not give any of them jobs.
Oh, by the way, we're on a giant fault line that might just explode one day.
Did you get that with the pinky toe? The pinky toe that's about to fall off, but you're painting it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, now I get it. Thanks for explaining it.
It's not funny anymore, but whatever.
I'm not that nice guy.
That's LA, man. That's LA.
Well, if you still are from LA and you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple, Spotify.
Do we have any listeners in LA?
We used to.
Yeah. We're pretty tough on the West Coast. Santa Monica?
You're tough on the Pacific Northwest. I'm not.
No, I'm tough on the West Coast in general.
The whole time zone?
I'm a West Coast policeman. Okay. I'm a West Coast cowboy.
Yeah, well, subscribe to our show. Follow us on social media where we do not post any influencer-like content. But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans.
Must booze.
We'll see you later, LA.